another episode of The Rugged Gospel. Today, I am here with Joel Hart. We just kind of met about 5 minutes ago, but I've been following his recent media and, you know, on Instagram, and he recently also started a podcast, which we're going to get a little bit into. But Joel, thanks for being with us today, man.
Yeah, of course, brother. Appreciate the invitation, man.
Of course. And I'm pretty excited to have this conversation and this topic on hearing the voice of God. I think it's so important that, especially what you're doing right now with that whole, I think you were doing like a prayer kind of series. And it seemed very interesting to me. I saw your like previous post and I was like, I think we should have a conversation on something about this. And I know you were doing that. So thank you again for coming on and having this conversation with me. But always to kind of start the podcast, I like asking a little bit about yourself just so the listener can get to know you a little bit better. So tell us a little bit about yourself, a little bit about life, your coming to Christ, and whatever else you kind of want to put in there. Just so the listener can get to know you.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely. My name is Joel, as you heard. I live in Washington State currently in Yakima. It's a valley kind of right in the central part of Washington. Beautiful, beautiful area. I grew up pretty much here in Washington. I spent some time on the west side, kind of Seattle area, about 10 years. And I've been blessed, man. I grew up in the gospel, knowing the gospel message. And my dad is a minister, and for much of my life he's been a pastor as well. And so, you know, as you referenced, kind of that prayer project deal that I'm doing, so much of that burden and passion and example comes from my dad. And just seeing him as I've grown up, a lot of times, man, like I'd wake up 2, 3, 4 in the morning, just, you know, for whatever reason, maybe had to use the restroom and as a kid. And it seemed like no matter what time it was, I would hear my dad praying downstairs. And that became just a familiar sound to me in my home as a child and growing up. And so, a little bit of what I've been brought up in. I went to Christian Life College in California, Stockton, California, when I was a little bit older. But I went there thinking I was probably a lot more prideful than I wanted to admit. You know, having grown up in this, being a pastor's kid too, and so, you know, I never wanted to go to Bible college. Actually, it was never something on my radar, and. Then the Lord just kind of spoke to me, led me there, long story short. And I was like, okay, I'll go for 1 year, and ended up being there for 4 and, just definitely thankful for it. Brought so much deeper in knowledge and in many things, especially prayer, during that time. And so, now I'm back in Washington, and I actually assist at one of our, we have like a multiple congregations within our church. And so I assist there in the ministry and just trying to do the work of the kingdom, man, with the podcast and locally. That's just a little snippet.
That's awesome. On the podcast itself, how did you kind of decide to go into that? What was the main reason why you started the podcast?
Yeah. Well, I mean, sounds like similar maybe to you kind of at the start of COVID, which I've never looked at the numbers or statistics, but I'm sure probably more podcasts were started in that time than any other time in history. I was actually part of like the COVID class of 2020 for college. And we, you know, came home for what was supposed to be a 2-week spring break and never went back. And so, you know, it went from like 60 to zero, when it came to like social, just the social environment and which I know as it did for everyone, but especially in Bible school, you know, we're with our close friends every day. I lived on campus, and it's a spiritual environment too. So having these type of like, we're, you know, today, like spiritual conversations and topics that, again, you don't necessarily have in church, or you don't have just day to day. And so then that just kind of went away completely once I came home from school. And so it's like, you know what? And of course, Zoom was like just starting, happening. During that time, our church had always done podcasts, so audio uploads, but we had never done like live stream for our churches either. So like many, we figured out that whole deal, at least the basics of it enough to get it up on YouTube and Facebook and wherever else. And so I just sort of kind of the things that I learned, and it's like, you know what, I'm going to start a podcast with this and try to keep the fellowship and conversations going. So yeah, much in the same way as you, I like it to be conversational, and just for me, it's out of a place of hunger and just knowledge. And then secondarily, it's trying to be a blessing to others too. So yeah.
Yeah. No, that's good. Yeah. And I mean, I relate with you wholly on that. I mean, it was... It was crazy back then, and I feel like we all kind of did it the same way. It was like, I remember we had like midweek service, and that next Sunday, kind of like, whoa, like what? Closed.
Right.
And right. So it was insane. Like, we were all, what do we do now? Like, we had to buy something. You were like, all right, well, what are we going to do? What cameras are we going to use? What things we had to, because we never did live stream before that either, so... We were all kind of just, you kind of just roll with it, you know. So it was a crazy time back then, if we can put it that way. Mm-hmm. But but that's awesome. And I mean, it's, I think it's great that we see a lot of these podcasts coming up, especially in the church, and, you know, bringing on all these topics and having more conversations. I think it's great. And like you said too, I know they're sure. And, and even with school,
yeah,
I started school like late 2020 as well, and so I can relate to you on that, because I went through it there as well, and it was different. The thing that I do it for is the learning side of it, you know, having guests on and having these people on, you learn a lot. You see things in a different way that you hadn't seen it before sometimes. And that's why I love having conversations, because you might know a certain thing a certain way, but when you see it from another perspective, from another person, it doubles down on it in a different way. And it's honestly great and really good to learn.
Oh, yeah.
100%. So it's awesome. And I love doing it. I'm sure you do as well.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
So before we start on the actual topic, my last question for you on your podcast, you did mention the project with prayer. How did that begin? How did it come about? And what is it? If you can just kind of let us know, so they can also check it out,
the
listeners, and listen to that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I appreciate you letting me kind of make a plug, I guess, here on your podcast. Very selfless of you. It's maybe been about a month ago. I, was actually in a place of prayer, and it was actually just before a service too. It was just pre-service, you know, kind of pre-service prayer. And, I just felt very clear, kind of prompting of the Lord, just this kind of idea dropped into my spirit about this project. And the way it first sort of came to me was to write a book on prayer, actually. And so then my second thought, and I guess kind of response to that, was I could maybe get a few things down, and of course study the scripture, pull some things out, but in my head I was like, I don't feel like I have the knowledge or experience to be the one to write a book on prayer. And then that's when the next thought came of, well, why don't you use your podcast to get people who are more seasoned, more experienced in prayer, the deep things of God, and then, you know, do this project, the prayer project, for a year is kind of what I'm shooting for right now. And my goal is to have at least 12 episodes so that then I can take those episodes and transcribe them into a book form at the end. So that's kind of the goal right now. And so essentially what it is I'm just calling it the Prayer Project. And it's an aim to, you know, educate people about prayer and the possibilities that are there for prayer, for the deep things of God, but then also to inspire them, just encourage them, to expose them to that, and some of these men of God and women of God who I'm hoping to have on, and some I've already had. First episode I did with David Puentes, you probably saw that one. And so, yeah, that's kind of, for me, the goal of it is just really challenging people and again, challenging myself as a refocus and a recommitment to this place of prayer. So yeah, that's it. And that just started. So I'm excited to feel a lot of momentum with it. So I'm excited to see where it goes.
It's actually like a really cool idea to kind of do that, you know, 12 episode thing with all these people and turn it into a book in the future. That's actually really important. So definitely for the listeners, towards the end of the episode, we will have him kind of just give us a little bit of where you can hear it and where you can follow him as well. But let's get into the topic today, man. Hearing the voice of God, the first question that I had for you, and I was just kind of thinking about the questions before, you know, sending them out to you and kind of seeing like where to start. And there's so much to go into that I was like, if I ask all the questions that I have, it's going to be very long. But some of these I really wanted to kind of hit on. So the first one is God's voice audible?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, I mean, as humans, we the main way that we hear people's voices is audibly. And so I think it's a good question. But with God, we know the Bible says that God is a spirit. And so we have fellowship with him by the Spirit, you know, through the Spirit. And this is why receiving the Holy Ghost is so important, because it's that, you know, Jesus told his disciples, like, I'm not going to leave you comfortless, but I'm going to return to you. And so we know, of course, that was the Holy Ghost coming. And once they received the Holy Ghost, they recognized it as the Spirit of God, as the Spirit of Jesus, because they had fellowshiped with him personally and physically. And so it wasn't, I'm sure it was still an adjustment for them because they had been with the man, Christ Jesus, but it was still, there was that witness, that spiritual witness that they felt when they received the Holy Ghost. And so I do believe that's the main way that the Lord speaks to us, is through the Spirit, by his Spirit, and within our mind and understanding. But I think as well that, without a doubt, I mean, he's God. He can do whatever he wants, and he can do anything except for lie. And so one example I think of in Scripture and New Testament too, for everybody who will say, you know, well, that's Old Testament. So New Testament example is Paul, or Saul, on the road to Damascus, and you know, the light shining and blinding him, and then the voice from heaven coming down and speaking to him and saying, you know, Paul, why are you persecuting me? And if you look later, and that's in the book of Acts, I think it's 16. If you look later in the end of the book of Acts, we see that Paul's recounting this experience, and he says that the voice came in a Hebrew tongue to him, that he heard it. And so, yeah, I think that for sure he can speak with an audible voice. But then we see towards the end, or a little later in that chapter, when that first happens, we see the Lord speaking to Cornelius in a vision. And so there's many ways that he can speak, but it seems like audibly is maybe not the main way. But
I think, you know, like kind of how the example that you brought up, and it's funny because I was talking about it with my wife as well, and I was like, can it be audible? I'm like, well, there's Old Testament, there's New Testament for it as well.
Yeah.
And I'm like, he can technically do it. I was like, you know, sure. The only time in the Bible that it says that we cannot do something is that we can't see him, right? Mm. But it does not ever say that we cannot hear him, right? And, yeah. and as we see, and like you mentioned, there is many instances where he did audibly speak to people. So I think it's most definitely something that can happen. And something that God can do. And like you said, I mean, he's God, he can do whatever he wants, right? And,
right.
But at the end of the day, I think it's very important that, kind of like what you mentioned, that now the way that we hear him is through the Holy Spirit. And it's so important yes. to be able to have that in order to listen to him, right? Which kind of leads us to the next question. Do you have to be safe? Or baptized to hear the voice of God. Mm-hmm. So what do you think about that part of it?
Yeah, I don't think that you do. I mean, even that example with Paul, right, on the road. I mean, he was persecuting the church, and he knew the scriptures, he knew the word of God well, probably better than anybody, and so he thought he knew who God was. But he hadn't yet had that revelation of Jesus Christ and the fact that was God robed in flesh. But yeah, he, 100% heard from God. And we see two Old Testament examples as well, heathen kings who had dreams from the Lord. And I think it's a great example, though, too, because they had dreams, but they didn't have the understanding of what the Spirit spoke to them. And that's where, again, the importance of the Spirit of God comes in, because the things of the Spirit we understand and know by the Spirit. And so I believe 100% people can hear the voice of God, that we see stories in Scripture, and I've heard stories in modern day times of people being visited by angels and giving them a message. But I believe it's always going to be then to lead them to a church or to somebody that, like Ananias and Sapphira, Priscilla and Aquila, how they led this man to further understanding, to more perfect understanding of the things of God. So, yeah, it's kind of a long answer, but to the question, I think that without a doubt, God can and wants to speak to people. And before I kind of finish, I guess, answering that, I think even Paul, Jesus, when he spoke to him on the road, asked him about him kicking against the pricks. He said, why, like, aren't you getting tired of kicking against the pricks? And what I believe that to mean is that he had been dealing with Paul already about what he was doing, about where he was in his life. And he'd been resisting it, like an ox that would kick against the pricks and try to go backwards. And so, I think that what people struggle with a lot of times, why the world needs so much entertainment and distraction and all these things, is because they don't want to be alone with their thoughts to hear the other voices in their head that tragically, are very real too, and that they hear. But the Lord is the light in that darkness and wants to speak to people too. So,
yeah, most definitely. And I fully agree with you. I think, God can definitely speak to people that are not saved or baptized. And, but I love that he's also always God of order, and he's always right. A God that, will put, it's like you were kind of mentioning, like, he gave kings and different people like dreams, but they weren't able to know what it meant. So therefore mm-hmm. they had to seek somebody that knew God yes. in order for right. them to receive whatever that message was in that dream. But they mm-hmm. could not have the full capability, or you know, of course, you know, like we were talking about just about the Holy Spirit, right? They don't have that understanding of God, and so therefore they have to seek God in order to get that understanding. And yeah. It's kind of like a way for God to lead, I think, when it says, you know, them to himself. Mm-hmm. So I think definitely God speaks to people, and you know, your sons to your daughters will have visions, right? And all that as well. Like, I don't necessarily think that is just for the saved. Like, other people can maybe also have dreams, you know? And
yeah,
I think it involves everybody. And if God is, you know, speaking to somebody in that way, you know, I think definitely, you know, as a listener, if you're not saved, and you feel that God's speaking to you in some sort of way, you know, seek that understanding and seek somebody that has the Holy Spirit, somebody that can help you and guide you through that so you can fully understand. But how do we know that it's God's voice? I hear this question a lot, and I feel like it's a very important one to kind of talk about, because even if we were, you know, brought up in church, or we've been in church our whole lives, as young people, and you know, heading into a lot of people, they're kind of taught how to pray in a way, but they don't know how to hear God, or they don't know how to hear God's voice, or when it is God's voice, right? So how do you know if it's God's voice or not?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. And I'll just comment too. I'm glad so far we're agreeing. I don't want to, of course, definitely don't want to say anything, hopefully that you disagree with. But yeah, so how do we hear his voice, or know that it's his voice that we're hearing? I mean, there's so much I could say about this, but I think one of the first things is, I mean, of course, having the intentionality. We need to be intentional and deliberate that we're trying to hear his voice. And one thing I was going to comment on too, of kind of the last question and comments, was, you know, it's the Spirit. The Bible says that the Spirit of truth, or the Spirit, will lead and guide you into all truth. And then we know that the Word of God, the Bible, is the Word of truth. And so those are all very interconnected, intertwined. And I personally believe you can't separate the voice of God from the Word of God, because he's not ever going to say anything that will contradict his word. And so we see a lot of, right, we see a lot of contrast in the church denominational church world of, you got this one side that's very, very, I guess, word based, and they're a little like starchy and yeah, I don't want to be negative towards anybody, but there's a lot of lack of spirit there. And you know, they just don't really emphasize it or have an understanding of it. But then you've got this other side that's very kind of just spiritual, but you hear some of their, like, quote unquote preachings, and there's no word in it, and it lacks substance, it lacks any depth. And so without the balance and the combining of the two, then you can quickly fall into deception. And Jesus even said it, I think it's Matthew 24, that many will come in my name and say that they're the Christ. But he said, but don't be deceived. Because I believe that to be people and churches. Because the church is the body of Christ. So there can be a lot of churches that come saying, you know, we're a church of Christ, and that we have the name, or we this or that, but they not have the Spirit and the Word to bring that balance. So I know that's kind of a little bit off topic there, but I think it's important that we can't separate the voice of God from the Word of God. And so I personally believe that with continual prayer, I think prayer is so important, but having a prayer and word balance, it's spirit and bread, or the oil and the bread, that we need to have a balance of, that I believe that the number one way the Lord will speak to us is through his word. And I often will be reading scripture and something that just gets super highlighted to me, and I just can't get past it. And then maybe I'll read it and there'll just be a flood of thoughts that come to me. And it's just like pieces come together and I realize, man, okay, I had this thought earlier this week and this thought, and now I read this verse and it like, it's like it all just kind of comes together. And I recognize, okay, this is the Lord. And it's usually when I'll get out a notebook, and then oftentimes other scriptures will start to come to me as well that connect those things. So I think that's the number one way that we hear and know his voice is it lining up with the scripture, with the word of truth. And then another way is because a lot of times there will be question, you know, of, okay, I think this is God. I think I see it in the word, but still is it for sure him? And, this is where I believe there's such an importance in having a shepherd, having a pastor, and spiritual authority, because, you know, it's in the book of John, Jesus speaks about, his sheep knowing his voice. And he says that another they will not follow. And I've thought about this, and even recently this morning I was thinking about this. And, you know, we see this now, especially with, we've come through COVID, and we were talking about it earlier. It seems like every single church, at least in America, is online now. And so we can have this tendency, if we're not careful, to tune in to, you know, 20 churches, different churches in a week, and maybe they're all even churches that believe the oneness of God, believe in the Holy Ghost, believe in baptism in Jesus' name, but if they, that can still bring confusion, though, I believe, because they're not our shepherd. They're not, and so the sheep, and it, I don't think it means we can't listen to those other voices ever, but something that I have to do often, and I'm even doing it right now, is I have to take a break from listening to any other ministry, any other even podcasts, whatever it may be, that's not from my shepherd and under the covering of my authority, because the Lord says another they will not follow. And I was thinking of this example, just kind of a real example of this. I was thinking of this example this morning of a guy that I actually went to Bible college with, and good guy, you know, seemed like he was a good guy. And had a zeal for being used of God. And what I think maybe he got kind of twisted up in is maybe he desired to be used of God more than he desired to know God. And long story short, there was a season of his life where he followed this man of God who's a great man of God. He followed him to another state and wasn't at the invitation of this man, just kind of his own zeal, just going there to kind of try to be mentored by this individual. And things didn't work out and go the way that he intended, and he had no spiritual authority, and he's since fell very far away into things. And so again, I know that's kind of a long answer and touching on some different things, but yeah, checking everything that we believe to be the voice of God by the word of God, and also our spiritual authority, checking it by them. And then two, circling back a little bit to that question of, can we audibly hear the voice of God? I believe that we can also, and it's a lot of times through the voice of our pastor. And we've all probably heard the example that a lot of times the voice of God sounds like the voice of our pastor. And this is exampled with Samuel hearing Eli, and before he knew the voice of God, but a couple of times going to Eli and saying, "Hey, was that you who called me?" So I think all those things are important.
No, and I agree. I think to the kind of almost to the T, like My thoughts were kind of very much aligned with yours. Like, I think it's so important to, you know, if you're thinking that you're hearing the voice of God or hearing something from God, I think the first thing that you need to do is go to the Word and make sure it aligns, right? Mm-hmm. Because if it doesn't align, then it's, you know, that it's not from God. But I also think it's very important that you mentioned your shepherd and your pastor. I think it's very important to, after even checking the Word, we have that, and also sharing it with your pastor, asking him what he thinks on it. And I think it's so important that lately too, I've been thinking a lot and really going into that whole covering thing. And I think that can be an episode on its own, because I think it's so important that we are under a covering, that we are under an authority. We need it. And a lot of people, I don't feel like they see it as like a huge important thing, but it's so important that we have that. To keep us aligned, really, and to keep us in the place that we need to be with God, because it's just, I mean, I think I can go off with it, but it's so important that we have that. And, you know, you mentioned all that. I think also another thing that we can add to it is having peace with whatever it is. You know, when making decisions or hearing, like, I've gone to really hearing maybe the voice of God to leading you a certain way, or and not only that, but, well, like myself, I've moved out of state, and you know, there had to be a lot of things that I had to kind of think about and pray on and see if that was what God was trying, not open the doors for everything to kind of happen very smoothly. So I think we have to see every little thing before we move on, move forward with anything, and just hearing his voice, definitely just be under authority, like you said. I think it's so important in having that covering, like we mentioned earlier. But yeah, I mean, I think all of that you said is on point, and I think it's going to be helpful for people that, you know, are kind of seeing if it's from God, if it's not from God, how do I hear him, kind of thing. But something else that you mentioned, and that I actually like that you mentioned, is listening to too many voices. Yeah. It's also, it's not a good thing. You have to keep to, you know, your shepherd, like your pastor. I don't think there's anything wrong with hearing other preachings or hearing, you know, other things or anything like that, any podcasts or preachings from churches, you know, aligns with our beliefs. For the most part, I would say stick to that. But if you're going outside of the beliefs, I think you have to be very careful as well, who you're listening to, who you're not listening to, because then you kind of start thinking and going with their ideas and ideologies, and then it kind of, you know, and especially if you're new to the faith as well, it's going to get you very confused.
Example in scripture that comes to mind on this that I think of is, you know, Paul and Silas, they were preaching in a city, and this woman with the spirit of divination begins to follow them, right? And if you read it, if the scripture didn't say she had a spirit of divination and it just said what she said, us reading it wouldn't think anything of it, because she was saying something that was true, that was right, that these men are ministers of the Lord. And I think it was 2 or 3 days that it went on. But there was something about her spirit that was grating on Paul's spirit. And so even though what she was saying was right, the spirit she was saying it with was wrong. And so it's very important to have a spiritual a discerning of spirits and a willingness to, regardless of who we're with, regardless of who the person we're listening to is, we have to have a willingness to shut it off as quick as it doesn't give us that peace that you're talking about too in our spirit. And I've had times where I've been riding in the car with a group of people and a song come on the radio, and it being an artist and a person that we know or that some of my friends know personally, before I knew who the person was, I shut it off. And I've had times where it's caused, you know, a moment of conflict, but I was like, hey, you know, I'm sorry, but I honestly don't care who it is. If whatever the spirit of it doesn't, if it's not meshing, if it's not ringing true, I don't want to spend a moment longer listening to it. And I think it's unfortunate, because I think we've lost that in a lot of ways, and we've become too comfortable with all of the, you know, the catchy and the contemporary Christian ministers that are out there who are trendy, and they do just this crazy stuff. And so we like to, you know, reshare it and maybe at sometimes replicate it. But man, it's gotta be spirit and word. It's gotta be the spirit of truth. And not just what they're saying, be right, but the spirit they're saying it with, be right. So
I fully agree, man. Yeah. There's so much out there right now that we need to be very careful with, and listen to the certain things that maybe can benefit you, and then kind of throw out the rest. But even then, myself, I've stopped listening to, or I've stopped seeing any, or stopped following certain people because of that. Or sometimes, you know, you hear this person at the beginning of their ministry. And it's not bad, but then it becomes just absolutely insane. Mike Todd, I'm sure that you've heard of Mike Todd at the beginning. If you go back to his very old beginning of preaching, it wasn't 100%, but it wasn't that bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you hear him now, or if you see his church now, it's a very different story. So that's one that I just kind of like,
right,
as it went and time gone by and he got more fame and he got more, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It just became absolutely like just insane.
Yeah.
Just cut off of my radar. And I think people need to, discern correctly or outside of, our pastorship, be very on what we were talking about, you know, hearing too many voices outside of our belief, very careful.
Yeah.
But kind of bringing it back a little bit, especially when you're asking him for something that you really want, or how do we know if it's just ourselves trying to hear what we want to hear, or it's God? What would you kind of say?
Yeah. Well, I'm sure we've all probably seen the examples, or I know I have seen quite a few, especially from Bible school, people who, you know, they're convinced it's the Lord telling them they're going to marry this person. And then a few weeks or, you know, months later, they're talking to somebody else, or they never, you know, nothing ever did happen with that. I don't know if I've seen an example where it's been accurate in that sense. And that's just, I mean, a little bit lighthearted, as long as people come back to center and don't make a life, you know, decision outside of the will of God. But I think that what I first comes to mind when thinking of this is the example that Jesus gives of the types of ground in the Gospels. And the one of them that I like is in Luke. And he talks, a lot of times it's called the parable of the sower. I like to look at it more so as like the parable of the ground, because it's talking about the different types of ground. And, you know, it starts off and it says that the seed is the word of God, as Jesus gives his disciples understanding of the parable. You know, he says the seed is the word of God, which I think is what we're talking about, because I think a lot of times people will say or think that the Word of God is only this book, but the Word of God, I believe, is the voice of God as well, because they're going to align. And you see it in Scripture, I'm sure you're familiar with, the Logos, or the Logos, and the Rhema. So the Logos being the written word, and the Rhema being spoken or uttered, inspired word, but they're going to work together. So anyway, that seed is that word. But then we see these different types of ground that because of the things in the ground, it's all the same seed, right? It's all the word of God. But because of the different things in the ground, it causes what the seed produces, it causes the effect of it to be different. And the first type that we see is, I think the first type it mentions is the wayside ground, right? And I think you could take the examples so much further that of what Jesus is talking about and kind of see them as in a way like personality traits of people and where they're at. You got waste, and we see further understanding that he gives is the ground is the heart. So that's important to remember too. When trying to hear the voice of God, it's important to have a pure heart, have a heart that's humble and that's willing to hear what we don't want to hear. Another example I think of is, and I can't remember his name, but it's Solomon's son who first, he becomes king right after Solomon. He goes to the elders first, right? And asks their opinion, their counsel. And they say, you should let up a little bit on these people. But then he goes to his friends that are young, that are more his age, and that tell him what he wants to hear, that makes him feel like macho and like he's the guy. And he ends up going with their opinion, you know, and puts more weight and things on the people of Israel. Things don't go well because of it. But kind of back on this idea of the types of ground, you know, you have also the stony ground, which is a ground that Jesus says is the word comes into, but then there's no depth. And so they don't receive it. And so it tells me, man, we need to have a depth in our heart, a depth to receive. And that I think all of these are connected to humility, having a lowliness of mind and a humble posture. I think posture is so crucial when it comes to hearing the voice of God, posture of prayer, posture to be teachable, to be correctable. But then the other type is the thorny ground, which in Luke Jesus describes as a ground that has cares, has riches and pleasures of life, what those thorns are. And so those are some of the key things that will cause that word and that seed to be distorted and not bring forth fruit in the amount that the Lord wants to, or in the, I guess, quality of what the Lord wants to. And because, man, if we're deceived by riches, then we're going to hear the word of counsel of our friends, like Solomon's son, instead of the word of the elders that's not aligned with what we want to hear. And so getting contaminants out of our heart, that's crucial, that's important. And having a humility, being in a state of repentance, all those elements are crucial for keeping our heart right. And another thing I'll mention is we're humans, we're flesh and blood, and so a lot of times our desires are things of this world. You know, our carnal mind is enmity with God because it desires the things of the world. And so not allowing those things to compete, because I truly believe that hearing the voice of God is really much more simple than we've made it to be, but we've complicated it because we've made God have to compete with all these other voices. He has to compete with the voice of, you know, like we were just talking about, other podcasts, other preachers, if we're trying to do the right thing. But a lot of times he has to compete with Netflix, with movies, with, you know, music, all of those things which carry influence and spiritual influence with them. And something that I felt like the Lord dealt with me about not too long ago was that all of our senses are portals, you could say, to spiritual influence in our life. And our ears and our eyes are two of the main ones. And so what we watch and what we listen to are things that will be contaminants if we let them in our heart and keep us from hearing his voice, but then also they will cause us to hear it the wrong way. Last thing I'll say on that is in Luke, where the Lord's telling that parable, he finishes by saying, take heed how you hear. So it's not always just what we hear, like, again, like we were talking about, but so often it's how that we hear. So hearing with the heart of humility, heart that's empty, that's good ground, that's ground that's ready to receive.
Yeah, I fully agree. I guess what other things would you kind of add to that? About, you know, we talked about many things, you know, from the beginning to now, but how else can we position ourselves to hear God's voice? What would you kind of add that we can do to position ourselves to hear?
Yeah. Well, I think the main way is having a posture of prayer. In Matthew chapter 6, the Lord says, when you enter into your closet, of prayer. So number one thing that we see is we should have a closet of prayer. I believe that, like it says in, I think Thessalonians, that we should pray without ceasing. But that doesn't mean be on our knees 24/7 praying, because if that was the case, we couldn't be doing this podcast. We couldn't go to work. You know, we couldn't live life. So I think it means having a posture of prayer. But I do also believe a dedicated closet of prayer is important. But then he goes on to say, when you've entered your closet, shut the door. So I think that the second part of that that's so crucial that if we're not careful, we don't do, is get into a secret place with God and make it be secret. Make it be secret, and Instagram can't come in there, TikTok, YouTube, a phone call, no matter who it is, a text, none of it can come in when that door is shut, because that's a secret place. It's a closet with God where I'm going in with an expectation for him to talk to me. And I'm going in with a desire and my spirit to pursue him and to hear from him. And another example of this that we see, that's New Testament. I love seeing New Testament and Old Testament. An Old Testament example of this is in Jeremiah chapter 23, which I think really this chapter, it's a very convicting chapter, and I think it's so true to where we are today as well. He's talking a lot about false prophets and prophets that are saying that they received a word from God, but he didn't speak to them. And they're saying they received dreams, but he didn't give it to them. And in Jeremiah, it's Jeremiah chapter 23. I have it right here. And 21, I'll just read it real quickly. He says, I've not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I've not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. And then verse 22, this is, I think, what's so crucial. And it's really so simple, too. He says, but if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of my doings. So that's really what I believe it's all about, is getting into the counsel of God and positioning ourselves in a place of humility, getting our heart right, getting the ground right, getting our ears. This is another example I that's fresh in my mind. We have a guy at church who's blind, and we've all probably heard that a lot of times people who are blind or deaf or different have one sense that they don't have, that a lot of times their other senses are more heightened, right? And I think in the spirit, this is true as well. Jesus a lot of times says, he who has an ear, let him hear. And I think what he's meaning is everybody has an ear in the spirit, but everybody doesn't have an ear to hear. So they've got the ear, but they're not using it in the way that they should. And so, like with this example of a blind person, they don't have the ability to see. So they have a heightened sense of hearing. They have a heightened sense of feel. Like this man blind in our church, he snaps. He'll like snap in front of him and use it as like, makes me think of bats who use sonar, right, to bounce off of things and to know where they're going. And that's, I think, such a good example of in the spirit, being in a place where if we want to be get in the counsel of God and hear his voice, then this is why fasting is so powerful too, because we're choosing to cut off certain of our senses, cut off certain of our desires of our flesh, the things that, you know, our taste and our hunger, Because then it heightens our ability to hear. It heightens our ability to hear his voice. So it's why I think it's so important to cut off, and not just to talk about preachers, but cut off entertainment, cut off movies, cut off music, good and bad. Like we shouldn't be listening to bad music anyway, but cut off even sometimes the quote unquote, the good music, because if we want to just hear his voice, we need to be really deliberate about it. And so cutting off as many of the other senses as we can so that his voice is the thing that's going to be the loudest. So that getting in a prayer closet and getting into his counsel, I think that's kind of a further explanation of how mm-hmm. we can hear.
And those are very important. And I like how you mentioned about the mm-hmm. senses and that kind of removing as many senses as possible to be able to hear. I think that's a very interesting kind of way to see it. And I really haven't really thought about it in that way. But like you said, cutting off as many things as we can to just fully have the attention on it. But before we end here, man, I wanted to ask it to you as well. What's the best advice somebody's ever given you?
The best advice. Man, there's so much I could say, but the first thing that comes to mind, I'll kind of keep it on topic here. The first thing that comes to mind is what I have kind of adopted as my purpose in life, because I believe that everything else will flow out of this. My ministry, marriage, just everything, the relationships, it'll all be benefited if I get this right. And it was this simply to learn the voice of God, to hear the voice of God, and to obey the voice of God. If we get those three things right, I mean, it's going to take care of everything else in my life. Because if we seek his voice for financial questions, if we pray about it, if we get in the word, and then we hear his voice, and then we obey it, we're going to be good. It applies for everything, you know. It applies for who we're going to marry. It applies for where we're going to live. It applies for what job we're going to have. If we hear his voice, we know his voice, we hear it, and we obey it, man, we're gonna do great things for the kingdom. We're gonna be positioned where he wants us. We're gonna be used mightily, and it's that simple. But it's not always that easy. But that's kind of my life's in a way my motto, my purpose, my everyday. I try to keep that front of mind that God, today I want to be positioned to hear your voice, so that I can obey it, so that I can be in your will. So I can see your kingdom come. That simple phrase is kind of the best, I would say, advice I've received.
And that's a good one. I mean, it kind of entails everything and comes from it, right? But before we go here, man, and again, thank you for coming on. Can you just let the listeners know where they can hear you, your podcast, where they can follow you on social media and all that, so they can go ahead and see some of your stuff, and especially with this project thing as well. So go ahead and let them know where they can follow you.
Yeah, man. Well, I appreciate it. And I, again, appreciate the invitation and the time. It's been a great conversation. For anybody wanting to check out it's called the Flow Podcast, my podcast, and it's all about trying to flow in the Holy Ghost and have a Spirit-led life. And as you mentioned, and we talked about, I'm doing this prayer project. You can find my podcast on Spotify, iTunes, YouTube, and just search the Flow Podcast. And you might have to put my name as well, Joel Hart. And then on Instagram, it's, I believe, the flow.podcast. It's a yellow logo. And so, yeah, that's where you can find it. I'm really excited. I have a new episode in the prayer project coming out soon with Brother Bailey, for Tony Bailey, who's written a couple books about prayer, Four Dimensions of Prayer and The Nautical Hour. Pretty excited and excited to see what God's going to use it for.
That's awesome, man. And thanks for sharing. And for the listeners, go ahead and give him a follow and go ahead and listen to his stuff as well. And with this prayer project, I know I'm following it, and I'm I want to see what comes along with everything that you're going to and the people that you're going to have on. But again, man, thank you for coming on and making the time. Hopefully we can have another conversation soon.
Absolutely, man. Well, I appreciate you and appreciate all you're doing for the kingdom. I know the podcast is a lot of work.
Definitely. But thank you again.
Thank you for listening to The Rugged Gospel. I want to thank you all so much for all the stars and reviews and all your support this far. If you haven't, please leave us a review and a rating, which helps the podcast grow and be more visible to people. Make sure to follow us on Instagram for all announcements and please comment. We'd love to hear from you. And lastly, we're so excited to announce that we are now on YouTube. Please go and subscribe to the channel. The link will be listed below. Thank you all again, and we'll see you on another episode of The Rugged Gospel.